This podcast is brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hi, this is Mary Grady from AvWeb, and today we're talking with Chris Esposito, who's a CFI in the Orlando, Florida area, and he and his partners have a new venture going on down there, and that's what we're going to find out a little bit more about today. So, Chris, can you tell us about your flight school in Orlando and what's unique about it?
Sure. Well, we're a brand new light sports school. All we focus on is sport pilot training. One thing unique to our school is kind of the ground lesson system we've created. We felt that a lot of other schools were kind of lacking in the ground instruction department. It was something that was kind of tacked on at the end when you needed it, and we've kind of developed a syllabus that's a little more specific. It kind of delves into all aspects of the training, and we offer that, you know, as a package, and we can even do it as a two-week accelerated program, which was something that we really thought was important, having that kind of accelerated program available for people who, you know, maybe want to buy an aircraft and get a license in 2 weeks, you know. That's kind of the basis for which we started.
All right, and you are teaching exclusively in light sport airplanes?
Right. Right now we utilize a Remos G3-600, which is equipped with a, you know, dual Diamond EFA system, a Garmin 496 with weather, and it's even got a full autopilot, a true track autopilot as well. It's kind of overkill for a plane that does 120 miles an hour, but it's, you know, fully loaded, and the plane is a lot of fun to fly.
Okay, and is your main focus really on getting people through to their sport pilot license?
Right, that's all we do, and all we want to do, and, you know, we'll rent to people as well, who are either, you know, flying under light sport rules or who just want to have some fun in the airplane after they get their license. But we're able to do it, like I said, in as little as 2 weeks, even less, with people who have enough time on their hands to go through the program on an accelerated pace. The big thing, like I said, was a lot of ground instruction. It's something that we feel is vitally important, and so we focus on that and try to do, you know, an hour of flight, an hour of ground. And our syllabus is something that is more of a private pilot-based, so you're going to get maybe a little too much information, which I think is never a bad thing when it comes to flight knowledge.
Okay, now you and your partners are right out of college. Is that true?
Right, yes. I'm 24, so I actually graduated in 2006 and decided I didn't like my cubicle too much. And I've been flying since I was 15, and my partner is a year out of college as well. We both went to the University of Central Florida, and he actually used this idea for a business plan, a competition they had there about 2-3 years ago. And through that process, met an investor who was interested in getting us an airplane to put on leaseback, and that's kind of how we got our start. So it all started with the college and kind of grown out from there.
Okay. Great. So was that really your idea when you went to school, was to go into an aviation business as opposed to an airline pilot kind of track?
Well, my partner and I wanted to own our own business, and, you know, as much as fun as flying a jet would probably be, we felt we have a little more fun on the business aspects. Not only would we get our flying in, but we'd learn about running the business as well, and this has certainly been a learning experience for us so far, especially, you know, the marketing end and figuring out, you know, where the market is and who our demographic is and how to get out to them, and it's been a real learning experience for us for sure.
So what is your demographic? What have you been finding out?
Well, it seems like, you know, I thought it'd be a lot more of a middle-aged demographic, but it turns out a lot of young people are getting their start in aviation, you know, college age, maybe even late high school. They're really jumping into it. It's kind of a good stepping stone for maybe they want to get their private commercial later, but they can use all those hours toward their private from the sport pilot. So they're kind of starting there, seeing how they like it, and then progressing on to more complex ratings. Also, the demographic, you know, the older demographic, like 50-plus, where people are starting to worry about possibly losing their medical. So instead of having to worry about that, they're just converting to light sport rules and either getting checked out or getting current again after years of not flying. So that's another large part of our demographic as well.
So how long have you been in business there so far, and what kind of response have you been getting?
Oh, we've been open about a month and a half, actually, and so far we've actually gotten quite a few people. We knew there was demand here just from the research we've done and the flight schools we talked to, and so far we've sold several packages, you know, of our all-inclusive, you know, with the 20 hours, the 15 dual, the package that includes all the ground school, and we've also got quite a few people who are interested in just coming in, getting their rating on, you know, 2 hours a week. So far, I'd say we've probably got 6 or 7 students, and we've been open, you know, a month and a half, and then just really lately started marketing a little more effectively than we were before. So we're slowly picking up.
Right. And what would be the going price for that, for 20 hours of dual? Well, is it 20 hours dual or
how much? 15 dual, 5 solo. It includes our package price includes 15 hours of ground instruction and all the books you need. And that package is actually $29.95, which works out to, if you buy the package, it's $95 an hour for the airplane with fuel, $35 an hour for instruction. And then the ground instruction, I think, is priced at $30 an hour with the package of all the books you need as well. Included in that.
And is that enough for most students, 20 hours?
Well, so what we found so far, we tell people to plan for like 25 to 30. Students we've had have been pretty on track for their 20 so far, but you know, obviously everybody learns at a different pace, so we tell people to plan for 25 to 30, and any hours after the package will still, you know, they'll be able to buy hourly. And anything with our school, we want to make sure that if we don't spend students' money. A lot of flight schools have that problem where they went out of business because they were spending money for flight blocks that students hadn't used yet. So we actually put ours in a separate account, don't touch it, so it's all fully refundable if somebody decides they don't end up wanting to fly anymore, or something, some family matter comes up and they're not able to continue their training or medical issue. Basically, we have that available that we can just, you know, pull it out and then not have them lose everything. So, you know, they're certainly welcome to do hour by hour, you know, at a low price as well, which is like $100 an hour if they do it per hour for the airplane and $40 an hour for instruction.
Okay. And is there a cross-country required for a sport pilot certificate?
Yeah, there's a couple hours of cross-country required, and there's actually no limits. A lot of people think it's like the recreational pilot's license where you can't go outside of like 50 miles from your kind of home airport, but you can actually go anywhere you want in these things, which is great. And the cross-country time is including that 20 hours. It's only, I think, one long flight for the dual cross-country and the solo cross-country as well.
Oh, okay. And so do you sell airplanes there too, or you're just strictly focused on flight training?
No, we're strictly a flight training outfit. We don't have any, we're not a dealer for any aircraft.
Okay.
We operate a Remus because we were able to get a very good deal on it. We think it's a really nice airplane, especially for the flight training environment. And I know from my experience, I used to do aviation insurance, and from talking with those companies, it's very highly thought of. It's one of their top three for flight training, which is why we decided on it. But we have no affiliation with the manufacturers yet.
Okay. So what do you plan to do next then? Where do you go from here?
Well, we'd like to plan to get several more aircraft, eventually a low wing. We've been talking with GoBosch as a possibility, just because it's a little more fun looking of an airplane. I think it attracts more people than your standard high wing trainer. We'd also like to expand and eventually possibly offer, you know, full training for commercial through you know, CFI. But we feel like the sport pilot's really underserved in this area, whereas, you know, full flight going through in terms of an academy is already saturated in the market here. So our plan is basically to expand to 3 or 4 airplanes and be able to rent and also do some sport pilot instruction, and from there possibly, you know, have a dealer affiliation as well.
Okay, great. Well, one of the things that the LSA people were telling me at Sun and Fun just recently is that, you know, a lot of flight schools are getting interested in using the light sport aircraft for all kinds of training, but not too many are just focused on sport pilot. So the problem was that a person would go in looking for a sport pilot certificate and they'd kind of get talked into, you know, getting something else. So to
sure, and that can be that can certainly be disenchanting. And one thing we found as well is a lot of these flight schools who are adding light sports don't really know how to market them. They don't really know how to reach that demographic, because the people who are already interested in flying as a career, they're not going to be necessarily interested in light sport. And if they are, it's going to be as a stepping stone. But you don't really advertise that the same as you would in, you know, in pilot magazines, because people who might not know about this new regulation aren't necessarily going to be reading the pilot magazines because they don't really know what they're missing. So that's one thing. I think a lot of the other flight schools, they add it to their fleet. It's there, but it's not really driving demand.
Okay, so you've got an unusual little niche there, I think, to actually just be so focused on sport pilot training and to be right out of school and trying a startup like this. I think is pretty brave in this economy.
Yeah, thanks. Well, you know, one thing with the economy, we thought about it, and it seems like more people, once you have that flying bug, it doesn't really go away. So it seems like people are, if anything, stepping down from larger aircraft, and I think that'll really help us in the long run. Because while the economy is bad, you know, we offer pretty affordable flight training and package deals that are, you know, a lot lower than a lot of the competition out there. And for a lot of larger airplanes, like your average 172 or 182. So people who are used to flying that or selling their airplanes and still want to get in the air, it's a pretty affordable alternative when the economy is the way it is.
Okay, Chris, well, thanks for talking to us today and giving us a little update on what's going on out there in Orlando, Florida with your flight school and the light sport aircraft training that you're doing there.
Well, thanks a lot, Mayor. It's great talking to you and happy to do it again anytime.
This podcast has been brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine. For more on aviation safety, log on to www.aviationsafetymagazine.com.